Hello, I'm Sandy Fraser. With me today, I have a contributor to one of our case studies, Adele Pacini.
Hello, Sandy.
We'll be exploring how Adele used her literature review about mindfulness to influence her practice environment. Adele, can you tell us a little bit about your own working environment and about mindfulness for people who have dementia?
Yes, I work in the NHS in secondary mental health services. I work across two teams, the Complexity in Later Life team and the Memory Assessment team. And the mindfulness for people with dementia was part of an intervention for the Memory Assessment service.
So you wanted to introduce mindfulness groups for people with dementia. So how did your immediate colleagues react when you put that idea forward?
I would say that there was certainly some reluctance to consider the idea of mindfulness groups. The team I was working in was very medicalised in its approach. There was a strong preference for using medication over psychological interventions. And indeed, there'd never been any therapy groups in the pathway before. Some people doubted whether people would be willing and or able to attend. And other people wondered whether it would actually work. There was a sense that it was untried and untested, and we should, if we were going to start introducing therapy groups, we should start with something that had been used by other teams with similar populations.
In your own organisation?
Yes. So an adjoining team, so a team that works in the geographical area next to ours, had already run a compassion focus therapy group. And so that was more established and more accepted within the teams.
Is that compassion therapy in relation to dementia?
It was, yes. But my sense was that it didn't really help people with their cognitive difficulties. So the compassion approach is really helpful for people with dementia. But the mindfulness seemed to add on an extra bit in terms of helping people with their memory and attention, which is why I wanted to introduce that.
So what do you think was going on there? Why was mindfulness as a thing? Why did it impact on the cognitive function in a way that the compassion therapy didn't?
I think the mindfulness approach is that it's quite different in terms of how the group is structured. So participants attend a 6-weekly course and there's homework after each of the sessions. So they have a daily amount of homework to complete. And those are all mindfulness practices. And those practices really help people to focus their attention. So they focus very much on the here and now. So they might be focusing on parts of their body or sounds that they hear. And that continued sort of using focused attention seems to really help people, one, obviously help their attention, but also help their memory. Because if we're not paying attention to things, we can't remember it.
And so perhaps part of the problem in your team was they just didn't know that. That wasn't part of...
Yes, absolutely. And I think there's still very much a stigma around dementia, even within mental health teams, that it's something that you can't intervene so much, you know, that it's a progressive disease and that once somebody has it, there's not much that can be done to help them other than offer medication.
So you needed to collect evidence through doing a literature review to convince your colleagues. What kind of evidence did you try to collect? Was it quantitative or qualitative, or did it involve mixed methods?
I'd say it was mainly quantitative. The NHS is very much biased towards quantitative methods. They want to know what the outcomes have been, and that tends to be in terms of improvements on questionnaire measures and scores, those kinds of things. There wasn't a lot of qualitative research anyway. For the quantitative, one of the issues was that the outcome research was mainly relating to mild cognitive impairment rather than dementia. So mild cognitive impairment is something that people are sometimes diagnosed with before they have a diagnosis of dementia. Some people will stay just with mild cognitive impairment and it won't progress to dementia. So the fact that mindfulness was helping people with mild cognitive impairment, I felt was important and was suggestive that it would help people with dementia. but the team weren't as convinced by this. And they also weren't convinced because we're not commissioned to provide services for mild cognitive impairment.
So one of the things in what you just said there intrigues me. So was part of the reason that you chose quantitative over qualitative, was it to do with the audience that you knew you had to convince?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
You also said that it so happened that there wasn't much qualitative evidence. But if there had been more, as I say, that had investigated how carers around people with dementia and how mindfulness worked, do you think that would have convinced your team more or less than the more quantitative evidence?
No, I don't think it would have, to be honest. I think the team, and particularly my manager, actually, was very focused on quantitative outcomes. And within our practice as a team, there was a focus on collecting quantitative outcome measures for improvements after interventions. That model of practice was quite well established. Qualitative evidence, either from our own patients or from the research, just wasn't valued as highly.
So you've done your literature review, which you found out what you found out, and it comes time to present your evidence to your colleagues. How easily were your colleagues convinced by the evidence that mindfulness groups might be helpful?
They weren't very convinced, to be honest. There was some scepticism in that they didn't quite seem to believe what the research was saying. There seemed to be a disconnect, really, between their experience with patients and what the research was saying. There were some comments around, well, that's because they've selected a particular population. Obviously, research trials are often more filtered than the people we see in clinical practice. So there was some scepticism, certainly, about whether this would actually apply for the people that we see.
Ultimately, they were convinced. It did work.
It did work, yes, yes. I think, and even after there was evidence that it worked with our patients and carers, there was still some scepticism. And I think it wasn't simply within the multidisciplinary team. So other psychologists that I work with were equally surprised. And in fact, I was surprised, for some of the outcome measures were as good as they were.
So you managed to change practice in your workplace. So have the mindfulness groups got off the ground, and how have they progressed so far?
Yes, the mindfulness groups did get off the ground. We ran one group as a pilot group. Following the outcomes from that, we ran a second group, and we're currently running a third group in the NHS. We've also been successful in working with a local charity to gain some funding directly from the clinical commissioning groups to run some mindfulness groups for people that aren't served under the NHS commissioning contract. So that's specifically for people with mild cognitive impairment, and also for carers who may or may not be caring for someone with dementia.
Could you just explain some of that lingo around commissioning groups and things like that?
Yes, so the clinical commissioning group now holds the budget, really, for healthcare in our region. They decide where the funding goes. So part of that funding goes to the NHS in a block contract. So we're commissioned to provide specific services. And some of that funding goes to charities and similar organisations who tend to offer services that aren't specifically covered by the NHS or don't naturally fall under a healthcare provision.
But the bottom line that you're describing is that the groups have been implemented not just in your immediate situation, but outside of your immediate situation, and it's led to practice innovations outside of your immediate environment.
Yes, absolutely. That's been one of the really positive things from the groups, is that it's snowballed in a sense, and we've been able to broaden the groups and offer them to people who wouldn't otherwise be able to access them under the NHS.
So how successful was your success? What I really mean is the implementation was successful, but Did it start to change the minds of those who had been originally reluctant about getting into mindfulness, both within your team and also in your wider organisation? Did it change their attitudes?
I think to some extent it did. I would say there were some practitioners who were initially very reluctant, who, if not now a proponent of mindfulness, do accept it as a viable intervention. There were other practitioners who were already quite psychologically minded who have gone further with it. I'd say some practitioners are quite strong advocates for it now, really, and use it in their day-to-day practice and use it on a personal level as well. So in that sense, yes, there has been wider implications for the groups.
Did you have to do any additional networking to make the mindfulness groups successful?
Yes, I did. I linked in with our local university, and part of that linking in was really to gain some credibility for the mindfulness groups in terms of their support and their expertise. Really helped me to justify why the groups would be of benefit. I also did some networking with a local charity to gain some funding via the CCG, and that again helped to raise the profile of the groups and increase the credibility again, really, in terms of they were willing to fund us to run them.
Students in this module may have been stimulated by their own practice environments informing their investigation. They might be aiming to change their own or their team's practice. Based on your own experience, what advice would you give to students about using literature reviews to do this?
Well, I certainly think that you need to translate the literature into both format and content that's going to be most acceptable to your team. I think if I had attempted to present my colleagues with a series of papers, it would not have been received well. I would say that in the end, I adapted the depth of the material. I used PowerPoints. I talked about the clinical issues that we have with our clinical population and how the literature and the findings from the literature might help to address that.
Thank you very much for helping us today, Adele. I'm sure your comments will help our students.
Thank you for having me.